Good morning. Good to be here with y'all today. Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, we come with you. We thank you for being good and kind and faithful. Thank you for all the things that you are. So much more than we need, and you bless us so greatly. And now, God, as we open your word and read, I pray that through your word that you would speak to us. You would help us to know you better, love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so flip over to the Psalms. We'll be there very shortly. So we all have problems. Maybe not in this moment. You know, we don't come to church to think about our problems, but I'm going to invite you to do precisely that as we start. We all have problems. Our problems are different. If we were to pass them by, a microphone around, we would all probably have different stories to tell of things that have happened to us in the last week and the last month, things that are props, maybe something that's going on right now in your life, that they're different, but we all have them. We all have problems. What are some of the things? What are some of the things in your life right now? Some of the worries that you came this morning thinking, I'll just forget about that for a minute. Want a little bit of relief from that. What are some of the worries, the problems, the difficulties, the insurmountable things that you don't know how they're going to resolve, which is why we get worried about them, because I don't know how I'm going to fix that. That seems to be unfixable. So we have these problems, probably, in large part, because our lives are never completely stable. There's always something that could give, and we know that something could give, and things kind of go from good to bad a lot of times. Things come undone, whether it's our cars or our bodies or sometimes our relationships. They start out good and then they kind of disintegrate. And so we live with this kind of a constant state of stress and worry because of the things that we carry around right now, the things that we know about that are wrong in our life, that are the way that we don't want them to be, that shouldn't be the way they are. And so we have this kind of low-grade stress. Sometimes it spikes because something really bad happens. And it's not just the things that are happening right now. They're the things that could happen in the future, because we've lived long enough, we know that we've seen the bad stuff that could happen to us and other people. And so we know what probably is coming down the pipe for us, down the road, whatever's coming down the road. We know that things are coming that we're going to face in the future. And so that adds to that insecurity and uncertainty and anxiety that we carry around through life. And in the middle of this reality, that bad things happen in our lives, and many times in this moment, bad things are happening, things we can't control, and we're stressed about that, whether we, you know, are thinking about it or not. And now, thanks to this little introduction, we're all thinking about it. There is a big idea, an enormous big idea, a huge big idea in the Psalms that we've been dancing around. We haven't read Psalm 23. We've been going through the Psalms for 27 weeks now. We haven't read Psalms 23, Psalms 91, Psalms 121, some of the most likely candidates to be read if we were to read the Psalms. We're going to today. There is a huge idea in the Psalms, and it is this: God protects and takes care of his children. God protects, takes care of his children. He has everything in his hands. And so in the middle of a life that is full of problems, God's children can know that their Father takes care of them and guards them and guides them and protects them. He looks out for us. He has us in his hand always, even in the middle of, especially in the middle of our problems. So this is going to be one of those weeks where If you ever leave here and you say, I wish we would read the Bible more on Sundays. We don't read the Bible enough in the sermons. Well, this is a gift to you if you've ever thought that. We're going to read the Bible quite a bit today. I'm going to talk quite a little in spite of that introduction. Basically, this week, that's the big idea. God takes care of his children. And now we're going to look at some verses that just bring this to life for us. Look at Psalm 3. We're going to look at several psalms. We're going to go in order, so it should be pretty easy to follow. Psalm 3, verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. So David's in an incredibly dangerous moment of his life, and he knows it, and It's because his son Absalom, most likely the situation in this psalm is his son Absalom has rebelled against him and is coming after him, and he's trying to take the throne away from him. He's at the point of losing, and he's already started to lose everything, his stuff and his family and his throne, and potentially the next step would be his life. It's a horrible time. It's so insecure. It's so difficult that, look at verse 2, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him and God. Not even God can help him. You ever felt like that? You ever feel like I would pray, but I don't think that would even change anything. Things are not going well. That's the moment David found himself in. Look at verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. God protect him, protected him. He knew that. You're the one who protects me. Not you're not protecting me in this moment, but you are the one who always protects me. Verse 4, I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill. He cried out to God. God responded to him. Then I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Think about that. He's running for his life. He might have written this outside under the stars with camping, not a fun camping trip, a forced camping trip, because he's thinking, my son is behind me, that he is coming with men to kill me. And he writes, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. In the middle of all of this tumult, he has so much peace that he's able to sleep. You know how little of a problem can take away our sleep, can make us not be able to sleep. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, does it? But he slept like a baby. Why? Because God sustained. He knew God has me in his, holds me in his hand, sustains me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. He's not fearful for the future. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Cries out to God in his anguish, in the uncertainty, in the danger in which he finds himself, because he knew that his salvation would come from God, and God held him in his hand. Flip over 20 to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So it says, God takes care of me. As a shepherd takes care of sheep, so is God to me. What does a shepherd do with sheep? He guides them and he takes care of them and he protects them and he makes himself responsible for all of their needs. So God does that for me, David says. So because of that, I have everything that I need, even if I can't see it in this moment. And as we continue to read, we find that he can't see it in this moment, but he knows that it's true. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives me everything that I need. He takes care of me, and He guides me. He takes me to what is best. And he does it. Why? Because he loves me. Yes, he loves me, but he loves his name even more. He does it for his glory. He shows his power and his goodness as he takes care of me, through taking care of me. And so all everyone around me sees, and I see, God is good. God is great. God is powerful for his name's sake, so that he will be glorified in worship and he will receive glory because of his care for his children. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So God's care is not seen necessarily in not going through times of anguish. God's lack of care is not seen when we go through anguish. We do go through times of difficulty. He says the valley of the shadow of death. That could be literally the valley of the shadow of death for something you're going through, or it could be something that just feels like that. We go through times of difficulty in our lives frequently. God's care isn't seen in not taking us through those times, but rather his care is seen for us in the valley. As I go through the valley, it's having his presence and his help and his rescue in our times of deepest needs. It's knowing that he has me in his hands in the middle of the storm. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, he has enemies, problems. We have problems. He has enemies. His enemies were his problem. It's not a lack of problems. It's that God takes care of me, and he's abundantly merciful and gracious to me, even in the midst of my problems and surrounded by enemies. He gives me what I need and so much more than what I need. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He connects God's care for us in this life with God's care for us for eternity. God takes care of his children during this life, but even more than that, he has prepared a heavenly home for us in his house with him for all time and for all eternity. God takes care of his children. Flip over a couple pages to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he says, God takes care of me. Paraphrase, right? God takes care of me. He's the strength of my life. So I'm not going to be afraid. Not because bad things aren't happening or bad things couldn't happen, but because I can be at peace. I can be calm and tranquil. Why? Because God holds me in his hand. Verse 2, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Not an absence of problems. Again, he describes brutal problems, as sometimes our problems are overwhelming as well. But we can be, look at the peace that he describes. I'll be confident. I will not fear. They'll stumble and fall. I won't. I will be at peace. Why? Because I know God is holding me and takes care of his children. Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord. Again, he connects God's care in this life with his presence and being close to him. It's not all about God resolving my problems here. It's me knowing God, getting ahead of myself. Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. What he most desires, you feel it? You see what he's saying? More than that God would resolve it and take care of his problems around him is that God would let him live close to himself, that he would be able to experience the presence of God and know and feel God, and that he would be close to God. And when this is our desire as well, we seek God for him, for himself, not because of what he will give us or because of how he will make our lives be smoother or better. And he takes care of us as we do that. And we, like David, we respond with worship. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. God invites his children to seek his face. Look at verse 8 again. See how he changes tenses and who's talking. You have said, seek my face. So God told him, seek me, seek me. And he said, I do that. I'm going to do that. We should do that as well. We should seek God. We should draw near to him. And we should beseech him like David does. Let us find him, to let us experience his presence, because we know, like David knew, that God will not abandon us. He will not abandon us no matter how much we need him, no matter what is going on in our lives. God never abandons his children, no matter who else abandons us, no matter who else we cannot count on. We can count on God because he never leaves his children. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Be strong. And let your, I just read that. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. God's children know that God takes care of them. Why? Because we've experienced it. Like David had, we've experienced God's care and His guidance and His protection and His provision, how our Father holds us and guides us. And because we've experienced it, just like David, that can give us faith as we look forward, knowing that no matter what comes in our path, that God is taking care of us. I'm going to skip over Psalm 54. Write that one down. I had to edit quite a bit. Psalm 54, right? That would be a good family devotion for this week. Psalm 61 also would be a phenomenal family devotion for this week. Go to Psalm 68. There's a snippet from this one I want us to read. Verse 5, Psalm 68, verse 5. This snippet was too good to skip over. Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God takes care of His children, not because, and this is sometimes where in our self-sufficiency we say, I got this. God, would you give me just a little extra help? It's not that God takes care of us when we have it and we just need a little extra push to get across the finish line. Look at what He describes in this passage. He describes people who can't, who don't have, who aren't able to, who can't overcome the things that are facing them. He helps us when we don't have any other help. He takes care of us. And you notice how throughout this whole time I've been saying He takes care of His children. Well, in part, that's because of everything David said up until this point, and everything we'll read that David has said is in the context of God's children and God helping and taking care of His children. But look specifically at the last little phrase in verse 6. The rebellious dwell in a parched land. He makes a contrast between God taking care of His children and those who rebel against God not being taken care of by God. You see the distinction between those who are God's children and who aren't? It gives us confidence when we are in Christ that God takes care of His children. So a couple more. Look at Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. When we live close to God, we're close to the all-powerful King of the universe. We're in His presence, at His side, and He takes care of us. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. We know that God takes care of us. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how bad circumstances become. Verse 11, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. If you remember, maybe that part of the text sounds familiar. That's the text that Satan used, part of that text Satan used to tempt Jesus. And because of that, we know this text isn't giving us, you know, freedom to tempt God, to be irresponsible, to be reckless. But the promise is true. God takes care of His children. Verse 14, because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, the care that God has for us. Look at the relationship with God that he's describing. It has to do with our relationship with God. We love him. He's our Father, and he takes care of us. Last one, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? So he asked the question, who will help me when I need help, when I'm in the middle of difficulties and problems and trouble and anguish, who will help me? And he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He looks to the mountains of Jerusalem, to the Mount of God. He answers the question before he asks it. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your help, your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The all-powerful God, doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber, who sees everything, who can do anything, knows what faces us. He even knows what will face us before we actually get there. He takes care of us and he guards us and he protects his children. If we read these texts, we come to the end and it's undeniable. God takes care of, he protects his children. He has everything, us, in his hands. He doesn't take care of us always in the way that we would want. He decides in his sovereignty how and when he'll resolve things and what he will do, what our path actually will be. But we can trust in and depend on him always, because he is sovereign and he loves his children. He takes care of his children. But I think we have a bit of a problem with this idea, because I was thinking, why doesn't my life always reflect that? Why don't I always have the peace that passes all understanding? Philippians 4 would be another one for a family devotion this week to kind of follow up on what we're talking about. Well, why don't I feel that peace always? Why do I tend to have, you know, just an anxious resting face? Why am I always just kind of worried about it? And as soon as something gets resolved, I'm thinking about the next problem that's going to happen. Why don't I display that? And if you're like me, then maybe you have the same problem I do. It's hard for us to trust. It's hard for us to feel peace when everything is not right, or when we know that things will not be right in the future. God takes care of his children, but it's hard for us to give up control. It's hard for us to trust absolutely in another person. It's hard for us to have peace when we don't know how things are going to turn out. So what do? Well, we pull things back into our own hands. We read Psalm 23 and we say, yes, I believe that. And then when problems happen, we take them on ourselves. We're the ones who are responsible. And so we get stressed out because we're not all powerful. We can't make things happen. We try to, and we force things, and we get anxious and angry and irritable. And glad my family's not here. We'd probably hear an amen. That would... So what should we do? What should we do with this? If God is the all-powerful God who totally, completely cares for his children, well, if you're not a Christian and you're hearing this, you should receive this Father. We've read today, you've heard, the Heavenly Father takes care of his children, and he also invites you to become his child. And you do that by surrendering to him, by letting him be your Lord and Savior. And you do that in the moment of repenting and being baptized. Then from that moment forward, God becomes your Father, the one who will care for you for all of eternity, for all of your life. If you're not a Christian, you say, I want to become a Christian. I want that. I want that Father. tell one of us, tell one of the men who's been up here. You can make that decision. If you are a Christian, for those of us who are Christians, what should we do? I think we should imitate David's example in the Psalms. We should seek God in our time of need. When things are bad, even little things that we just kind of worry about, not big enough to take it to God, big enough for me to worry about, anything. We should take our need to God. We should always just start talking to Him. This is happening. I'm not sure what's going to happen with my boss or with this thing or with my... We should talk to Him. And then we should ask for His help. And we should trust in Him, like David did. You notice how David's petitions for God's help were intermingled with, you're my rock, you're the one who surrounds me, you take care of me. We should trust in Him, and we should speak that trust. We should say, I trust in You. You're the one who takes care of me. You hold me in Your hands. We should remember what we believe, even as we're asking God for His help. And then we should, through the power of God's Spirit, we should strive to live in peace. We should, Christians should be the most peaceful people in the world. Why? Because we can rest in the reality that our Father has us in His hands and He takes care of us. And even when everything is gray and we don't know what's going to happen, we can and should be the most tranquil, peaceful people, even and especially when everything goes badly. Because we're in His hands and we should learn to praise Him. We should learn to praise Him. When things are bad and we don't know how things are going to turn out, we should sing a song, literally sing a song of praise, not a figure of speech. We should literally sing to God when things are bad. And then when He resolves things and He makes the problem be dealt with, however He does that, we should thank Him. We should give Him praise. We should glorify Him for His provision, His protection, and His help in our lives. So last question. If you're a Christian today, here's a question for you. What's the worry? What's the concern? What's the problem in your life today? What's the thing when I started asking at the beginning that you really didn't want to think about? You're kind of just staving that off until you leave here and then you'll worry about it again. How can you take that to your Father? How can you trust in His care? How can you live in peace in spite of what's going on in your life? Now, We end by celebrating and remembering the greatest demonstration of God's care and protection and rescue. Remember the cross together. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And as we prepare to take bread and juice and remember Jesus' body and blood, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Most beautiful words in the Bible. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So now, as we take bread and juice and we remember the body and blood of our Savior, it's offered on Calvary, remember the salvation that purchased for us, the forgiveness of our sins, the adoption into God's family, we can say with David, King David, I'm going to read one more excerpt from a psalm. I'm going to read from Psalm 68, verse 19. We can say with David, blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. Dear God, we come to You and we thank You. We thank You for this morning for reminding us through Your word of Your care, constant care and provision and protection and guidance, how You surround us and You lift us up and You sustain us. And God, we repent. We repent that many times we carry the weight of our problems ourselves, and we worry, and we're anxious, and we're irritable, and we're angry, and we push and manipulate other people, and many times we don't demonstrate trust in you. So God, I pray that as we face problems this week, that you would remind us of the reality that even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort you. You take care of your children. And God, we pray that you would fill our hearts and our lives with peace, that we would have, as your children, as we go through life, we would have a kind of peace and calm that is inexplicable given the circumstances of our lives. And we thank you more than anything for Jesus, for giving him up for us, and through him allowing us to be forgiven, beloved, and adopted into your family. We might be your people. You are the God of our salvation, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.